This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 22nd, 2013, episode 620, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for tuning in on this Freestyle Friday. And it is definitely a Freestyle Friday because we were having all kinds of troubles with our system this morning, even getting in to talk to you. We thought Jennifer was going to be doing the show by herself. Jamie, are you still here? Yes, she's still here. Good. Phew.
I'm here, but I'm on the phone, and so it kind of sucks. But we'll just keep trying throughout the show, and hopefully it'll fix itself. I don't know what the problem is.
I don't know either. I am in through the system at this point, but I think I'm the only one. Jennifer is here. Are you here, Jennifer?
I'm here.
Good. All right. Well, we'll do a show as best we can with the technical difficulties this morning. You know, I told you the other day, Jamie, that the people in the Northeast were going to be really pissed really soon about Punxsutawney Phil and his prognostication of an early spring. Well, they're due in the Northeast for another winter storm this weekend, and their highs are going to be in the 20s. So, and spring started yesterday. So there is a certain prosecutor in the state of Ohio, the county of Butler, that has decided that he's had enough. And he has filed a criminal indictment against Punxsutawney Phil and filed it in court yesterday. And this is what it says. Count one, misrepresentation of an early spring. On or about February 2nd, 2013, at Gobbler's Knob, Punxsutawney Phil did purposely and with prior calculation and design cause the people to believe that spring would come early. Contrary to the Groundhog Day report, a snowstorm and record low temperatures have been and are predicted for this weekend and to continue into near future, which constitutes the offense of misrepresentation of an early spring, an unclassified felony, and against the peace and dignity of the state of Ohio. Specification. The people further find and specify that due to the aggravating circumstances and misrepresentation to the people that the death penalty shall be implemented to the defendant, Punxsutawney Phil. Michael Gossamer, prosecuting attorney. So people are pissed. I told you they would want his head.
Oh, my gosh. That, yeah, and it's not bad enough that the groundhog is the most hated beast in all of Pennsylvania. I don't think Punxsutawney is doing anyone any favors.
No, that's for sure. And by the way, Jamie, if you might want to check your settings, your mic is we cannot hear you. Jamie's trying to get into the system now, so we're waiting for her to pop in. Yeah,
you know
so
what's
this
happened
is,
here? Someone somewhere has developed some seriously bad technology karma.
You know what it is? Every time we have Reese on and Jamie's not here, she does a vegetarian recipe.
Right.
And today, Reese has a vegetarian recipe and Jamie can't get through. It's like a jinx thing.
That's right. You are right.
You know
what? Fucking God.
Maybe if we added some bacon to this recipe, then Jamie would get through and everything would be fine.
Get Oh, gosh.
So why don't you tell us what's coming up on today's show while we're waiting here?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, We, as Glenn mentioned, head into the kitchen first thing for a recipe with Reese suitable for your weekend enjoyment. And we follow that with a jaunt up to Canada for a chat with Mark Marisset. And we're going to talk about his efforts to preserve a certain piece of Canadian as well as thoroughbred history. And really bad ads wipes up the end of the show so you can sail into your weekend with a smile on your face and a spring in your step.
Very good. Thank you. Is Jamie back? Hey, Jamie, you there? Nope, we still can't hear Jamie. No. All right, so I'll do my daily Winnie a while. All right, let me cover a news story here before we get started, and hopefully Jamie can get back on here. I have a sad news story, actually, to start the day. There was a fire at an Ohio equestrian center in Oregon, Ohio, that killed 10 horses, and this really made its way around Facebook yesterday, and I think it's because this was a therapy program for the disabled, and these were the horses that they actually used for the therapy program. So that's the reason it was making the rounds so much yesterday on Facebook, but we just wanted to send our best out to them. It was a 100-by-100 wood-framed barn at the Vail Meadows Equestrian Center. It started at 3:30 a.m. These things never happen during the day. They always happen in the middle of the night. And as I said, there were six of the horses that were used for therapy that died, as well as goats, pigs, and chickens and everything. So they're not sure what caused it yet. Usually stuff like that's an electrical fire in a barn. But our best to all of them, and our thoughts and prayers are with them.
That's an awful story.
I know, but I wanted to mention it because it has been such a big story on Facebook, and we wanted to give our best out there while we're waiting for you to come back. So you're back on the phone, right?
Glenn, seriously, though, I would like to point out that you have a way of insulting people when clearly the system is not working. Glenn is typing to me, is your mic turned on? Is your mic turned on?
That's happened
no,
to all
idiot.
Of us, though. We've all done
I have,
that.
I know. You think after 10 minutes I wouldn't check that? God, you're such a man. Ridiculous.
I was always taught by John the Geek, my mentor, that you always check the simple things first because it's usually
yes, and
a simple
I did
thing.
That. And I am not an idiot, so thank you very much. Yes, my mic was on.
Okay, good. Daily Winnie Talk. My Daily Winnie goes out to the winningest jockey so far in 2013, Rosie Napravnik. She reached her 1,500th win overall on Wednesday at the fairgrounds in Louisiana. She was riding a Steve Asmussen-trained horse, Rhonda Michelle, to a three-length win in the $10,000 maiden claiming race. She said, it seems like just yesterday I was winning my first race at Pimlico, so I think I came a little quicker than I figured it might. I'm just very thankful for each and every day of the wins and all of the people that have helped me to achieve them. And listen to this, everybody. Napravnik, who is currently the leading rider in the nation, not just the leading female rider, the leading rider in the nation, now has 81 wins for 2013. All-time wins leader Russell Bays is second place this year with 72. She's also the leading stakes rider for 2013. She's won 14 of 33 stakes races, and John Velasquez is behind her with 11 of 34. She's also poised to win her third consecutive riding title at the fairgrounds with 108 wins for the meet. And she joins a small group of female jockeys to amass 1,500 wins. Hall of Fame jockey Julie Crone, who raced regularly for 22 years, has the most for female jockey with 3,700 wins. So she has a little ways to go to catch Julie Crone, but congratulations to her. And how exciting to be the leading rider in the country. Not just females, everybody.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I would like to point out, though, that I have seen Rosie ride several times when I've been at Keeneland and other places like that, and the girl cannot win a race when I put a bet on her.
Stop betting on
her. She has
on
cost me so much money. I hear all the wins. I'm like, whatever, they're all lies, because I have seen her run, and it has just cost me money every time.
Okay. Learn from that, Jamie.
Yes. Now, Now, there's somebody else who will not cost you money. You are guaranteed to win. You just won't win very much because she went off at odds of 1 to 25. That means you have to spend $25 to win $1. And, yes, I'm talking about Super Mare Black Caviar. She, this morning, very, very early our time, got her 24th consecutive win. Unbelievable. It was the William Reed Stakes, a sellout crowd, all basically to watch her there. She had an effortless victory. I mean, you guys, we're going to play the audio here in a second, but you have to watch this because she's just unbelievable. The whole crowd, the whole pack is running as fast as they can. And then coming around the turn, boom, there she goes. It's like everybody stops running, and she's just absolutely amazing. Trainer Peter Moody says she's second to none. She put on a wonderful show. It's scary how well she's going, he says. And even apparently afterwards, after the race, she let down. She calmed down. She settled very easily. So Luke Nolan said that, that's the jockey. It's been a wonderful ride the whole time. Everybody is just in love with this horse. And let's hear the audio.
We've waited all night. This is it. You could hold your breath. It won't take long. Spirit of Boom lined in. Set for the William Reed. They're ready. They're off. Black Caviar jumps evenly with them. Lucky Grey away very fast. And also Karuta Queen going for the lead. And Black Caviar idled up on the outside to settle third. Then Spirit of Boom, a length and a half away. Then came Linton, who's on the inside of Faulkner and Good Bar Bar La. So Karuta Queen leads at the first turn. A length and a half in front. Black Caviar strode up into second placing from Spirit of Boom, deeper out third, and then Lucky Grey fourth. They're followed then by Linton, a Good Bar Bar, and Faulkner, who's in the middle. Up the side they race. Karuta Queen only narrowly now from Black Caviar. Spirit of Boom staying on. Lucky Grey still handy enough fourth the inside. And they're followed then by Faulkner, Good Bar Bar, and Linton last on the inside. Nolan hasn't asked yet. And Karuta Queen coming to the turn about a neck in front. He's idling on the outside on Black Caviar. And now he gives her a bit of rein. And Black Caviar strides to the lead ahead of Karuta Queen. She's broken the field up. And before they knew it, she was three lengths in front, Black Caviar, now from Karuta Queen and Lucky Grey. But this is brutal power wrapped in an elegant machine, and Black Caviar strides away to win it by four lengths. Karuta Queen getting home. Faulkner will grab third ahead of Linton and Lucky Grey, and behind them Spirit.
There you go.
Unbelievable. That was incredible. I do like the quote with the jockey is like, it's amazing to be part of just not a wonderful racing story, but a wonderful sporting story. Thank God she didn't let anyone down tonight. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Nolan, the only person who's going to screw this up is you. So just let her run. Thank God she didn't let anybody. I'll tell you what, she's going to let somebody down. Anyway, so let me not get mad at the jockey. He already kind of, you know, at the Royal Ascot, I was a little upset with him. But there was one guy that bet $500,000 on Black Caviar to win. And guess how much he won? $15,000. I mean, granted, that's a $15,000 profit, but who's got $500,000 cash that they're going to take to the track? Nobody. So except for this guy. Amazing.
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, the other day I heard about, speaking of people getting lucky, there's this family, I think it was in New York. They did a scratch-off ticket like 2 years ago, won $1 million. Jamie, they did another scratch-off ticket like 2 weeks ago and won $1 million.
No way.
Yeah, same thing.
I'm going to start buying tickets where they buy tickets.
Yeah, exactly. I think that half the New York is going to be doing the same thing. So we had two
girls this
morning, you know, that doing wonderful things here. We do.
Girl. I'm like, what girl? I mean, Black Caviar, but Rosie, gotcha.
Yeah. Rosie and Black Caviar. Two girls doing wonderful things this morning. So it's all about the girls today, apparently. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say it's girl power day. I mean, that's the way we roll.
That's right. Well, we are going to be getting to our first guest in 1 second here. And speaking of girl power, while we're waiting for Reese to get on the line, I have good news. We had talked about a couple weeks ago, Australia's Linda Fredericks, who resides in England, who is the wife of Clayton Fredericks, the eventer, and Lucinda also is. She suffered a fall in an event in Hampshire earlier this month, and she's been in the hospital. Well, she has now been released from the hospital after 2 weeks, so she's very happy to be out and to be home. They said she's making huge progress, so that's why they discharged her. She suffered 6 broken ribs, and she also had to get a surgery where they inserted a plate into her collarbone. They said that she's incredibly grateful to all the staff of the hospital who have looked after her so well. So she is back home now, and, of course, I saw her win Rolex there on Headley Britannia a while back. I forget what year that was exactly now, but she's a neat lady, and we wish her the best as well. Coming home, and you know what? She'll be back to riding in no time. Guarantee it.
I hope so. Bless your heart. You know, and now they're calling for I just saw a story that said everybody make sure to attach your .2 air vest or whatever air vest you have. Make sure you clip it on, because she was actually riding novice when she had the rotational fall from the story. I don't know if she didn't attach hers. I do know a lot of people that won't wear their air vest in the lower levels. They only put them on when they're riding prelim or higher. So you can, I always wear mine anytime I'm galloping over any sort of jump, but that just goes to show you, you know, you can have a rotational fall at any level. It doesn't always have to be the upper levels.
So she did not have an air vest on at the time?
I don't know if she didn't have it clipped. I don't know if she didn't have it on. I don't know because this news story was just like, hey, Lucinda Fredericks had a fall at novice. Make sure you clip your air vest. So I don't know if that meant she didn't clip hers or... And clip it to the saddle is what I mean, because as soon as you come apart from the saddle, boom, that's when it pops open.
And you would think riding the youngsters, and usually is the lower level horses, those are the ones you would want to wear your air vest on, you know?
I know, but like my coach's theory, Barb Cravo, I ride with her, she's like, I don't wear mine going, of course, you know, I don't ride prelim or higher. She's like, I don't wear my air vest unless I'm riding prelim or higher, because apparently, you know, the falls aren't that big a deal when you're going in the lower levels. Well, I'm going to take this little news story to her. Hey, she was running novice, and she's Lucinda Fredericks.
And I'm sorry, if you've never had broken ribs, that hurts like hell. I mean, it really does.
It's the worst.
You can't breathe. It's just awful. So anyway, I know there's somebody out there, a dressage rider, that anytime she's jumped, she wears an air vest, she wears bubble wrap. She gets those big balloons and puts herself inside of one. That's what she does when she jumps. And that's Reese Koffler Stanfield, host of the Dressage Radio Show, here with her recipe of the month. Good morning, Reese.
Hi. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Okay. Now, am I right? When you jump, you suit up.
You know, I try not to actually jump very often. I have started jumping my young horse a little bit, and they're very, very tiny, tiny jumps. But it is true. I was listening in on a conversation, and I'm on the USEF Safety Committee, and you would be amazed on how many people get hurt at the lower levels. If I were going novice or I had a kid going novice, beginner novice, they'd be wearing that vest, let me tell you, and it would be clipped. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to wear it, if you have the vest on, why not clip it? I mean, you've already got it on.
Or wear it, you know. I mean, again, you know, this is a dangerous sport, so it's kind of like, you know, when you don't wear your helmet. You know, it's the one time you don't wear it is when you're going to get hurt. So put on your safety stuff, everybody.
Well, thank you, Reese. Well, now, today you're here, and you're actually on the same time Jamie is with the vegetarian recipe.
I know, Jamie. I was hoping you were beyond. Usually, whenever I come on the show, you are not on, so I'm so happy.
Glenn tries to keep us apart, Reese, but we just can't. You just can't keep us apart.
We cannot stay apart.
And you know what's exciting about this recipe is that I actually made a lemon basil quinoa last night for dinner. But
what?
Yours looks so much better than the one I made. I'm so excited to try yours.
Well, you know, hopefully one day it will be spring. I don't know where, you know, I'm in Kentucky now. I'm not in Florida. And I just rode a horse in 20 degrees. And it's so cold. So wherever everybody is, I'm sure it's chilly, unless you're where Glenn is or where you are, Jamie. Very cold.
It was 34 last night. So it's chilly here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know. I don't feel bad. But I think
it was 90 here yesterday. It was 90,
yeah,
bucket.
Yeah. So, it's spring. And so when I went to pick a recipe yesterday, I thought, I am going to pick, you know, I wanted a big bowl of chili last night. So but I'm like, no, we're going to pick something healthy and spring-like. So this recipe popped up. I have not made it, but it looks great. And I showed my husband, Travis, and he said, ooh, that, I think we should make that tomorrow. So it's also Lent. For those people that celebrate Lent. So I thought this is a great recipe for all of those reasons. And you can always put chicken in it. You could put salmon. For the meat eaters out there, this would be a great recipe. So there's lots of things you can do with it. So that's why I picked it for today.
All right. Tell us about it.
Okay. So I think one time we talked about quinoa on the show. I can't remember, but quinoa is this really great grain. And if you're couscous and, you know, all those things kind of go together, but it's fun. It's fun to cook in a little something different. So 1.5 cups of uncooked quinoa. These are the ingredients. 3 cups of organic vegetable broth. Swanson's has a good one. You can also use chicken stock if you're not a vegetarian. 1 14-ounce package of reduced fat firm tofu cut into 1/4-inch cubes. Now, Glenn, you don't like tofu, do you?
No.
When we were talking about this recipe, which, by the way, is called Black Bean Quinoa Salad with Basil Lemon Dressing, Glenn and Jennifer were both like, oh, skip the tofu, add sausage. I'm like, you
take
can't get that straight out
can.
Of it.
Which you can. So 3 tablespoons of olive oil divided, 1 1/4 teaspoons of salt divided, 1 cup of fresh basil, 3 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, 1 teaspoon of sugar, 2 teaspoons of ground lemon rind, 1.5 teaspoons of freshly ground black pepper, 3 garlic cloves, 1 10-ounce package of frozen lima beans, 4 cups of chopped tomato, 1.5 cup sliced green onion, 1/2 cup of chopped carrots, and 1 can of black beans, rinsed and drained. Okay, and all of it, you can, if you don't like something, take it out, it will be fine. Or if you want to put in another vegetable, great, I'm sure it'll be good. So you're going to combine the quinoa and vegetable broth in the saucepan, bring to a boil over medium-high heat, cover and reduce heat. Simmer for 15 minutes or until the broth is absorbed and the quinoa is tender. Remove from the heat. Place tofu on several layers of paper towel. Cover with additional paper towel. Let stand for 5 minutes. Heat 1 teaspoon of oil in a large nonstick skillet over medium-high heat. Add tofu. Sprinkle with a 1/4 teaspoon of salt. Saute tofu for 9 minutes or until lightly browned. Remove from the heat. Cool completely. Or if you're Glenn and Jennifer, add sausage. Combine 2 remaining teaspoons of oil, the remaining teaspoon of salt, basil, and the next 6 ingredients, which that was the lemon juice and, of course, I'm doing this on a computer. This is when I need to print things out. So this is the basil, the lemon juice, the Dijon mustard, the sugar, and the lemon rind, along with the pepper. You're going to combine all that. So you're making a dressing, basically. There. Let me get my computer back working. There we go. I heard it's been a trying computer morning, so I thought I would try a computer as well. You're going to combine 2 remaining. So you're going to whisk all that stuff together, and you're going to stir it into the quinoa. You're going to cook the lima beans according to the package, omitting the salt and fat, so no butter, no salt. Cool completely. You're going to add the lima beans, tofu, chopped tomato, green onion, chopped carrot, and black beans into the quinoa, and then you're going to cover and store and refrigerate so you're ready to serve it. So you could use this recipe for lunch, or you can use it if you're going tailgating. to, let's say, a Rolex type event, or the drive event, Glenn, that you're going to. So lots of uses for this recipe, and or you can add sausage, or I would probably add some grilled chicken to this recipe myself. Just put some grilled chicken on the top, and you have a great sort of spring salad.
Funny, I was reading this recipe, and I thought immediately it would be something that you would eat hot, and then you do cool it completely. It says almost refrigerate it. So, I mean, to me, like, you could probably have this hot or cold, Reese.
Yeah.
I know you're freezing to death up there, so.
Yes, I would like hot at the moment, very, very steamy hot. But, yeah, I think that's what I liked about it, is there's all kinds of stuff that you can do with it. And you can add stuff, take it away, depending on what your family likes. I actually thought, when we got married, that my husband didn't like lima beans. And I was telling that story to somebody that Travis hated lima beans. And he was like, no, I don't. And I was like, well, your mom told me you hated lima beans. And he's like, don't listen. Hopefully my mother-in-law didn't listen to the show. But he's like, no, I like lima beans. So we have lima beans in our house now.
This one also says you can use, is it edamame? Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
I've never, yeah. You can use the edamame beans, which we really like. We like those a lot.
We had some for snack last night, actually.
It's sort of like a cross between a regular bean and a sugar snap pea or something like that.
And they're like those. They're really good for you. And we actually, I keep them in the freezer for snack. Both Travis and I were running late. I was running late from teaching lesson yesterday, and Travis was running late from class. So, we just keep those in the freezer, and I pop them in because I was making dinner, and, you know, that's where I want to go for the bad stuff, the cheese and crackers and that type of thing. So that was good. I just heated those up, and we snacked on those and then had our dinner.
You guys are making me hungry.
Cool.
I know. Sorry. It's 9:30 in the morning. It's breakfast time for sure. I got to do a breakfast recipe next.
Well, that's great. We will post this recipe on our Facebook page for all that want to see it. We'll post it on Facebook. You can see it at Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And, of course, you can hear Reese at the Dressage Radio Show over at dressageradio.com. You can find her over there along with Philip. Now, Philip's not a vegetarian either, is he?
No, he's not. No, he's not a vegetarian. No, Jamie, I think I don't know very many vegetarians.
You're not hanging out with the right crowd. That's the problem.
That is true. We need to hang out more. I love it. But, yes, everyone, come over and listen to the Dressage Radio Show. We have a great show that's up today, a new show that's up this morning, and love for everyone to listen to it and send us some emails and comments. We always love that.
Well, thank you, Reese. We appreciate you joining us this morning. It's the black bean canola salad with basil lemon dressing.
Quinoa.
I don't know how to say that. Quinoa?
Quinoa.
It looks like
okay.
Canola.
So
I don't know that I've ever had quinoa, to be honest with you. I don't know that I've ever had that. Yeah.
Try it out.
I'm sure I have.
It's a healthy alternative to rice, Glenn. A healthy alternative to rice. So
exactly.
You probably won't like it.
Reese.
Do you like tofu, Reese? Be honest.
I actually do like tofu. Yeah, I do. I think tofu just tastes like what you cook it in.
Yeah.
It's the consistency. I can't get that.
Yeah, a lot of people, I have heard a lot of people, but we have a place here, and this is probably why I like it, but they do a fried tofu appetizer. It is the best thing you've ever tasted. It's so good. So next time you're in Kentucky, Glenn, I'll take you to our little Thai restaurant in Georgetown, and I will have you try this tofu.
I'll try it. I'll definitely try it. You know, I don't like seafood, and tofu reminded me the consistency of the couple times I tried scallops. Kind of had that same consistency, and maybe that's why I don't like it.
There's certain. I'm a tofu wizard here. I've tried every kind, and it just depends on what kind you get and how it's cooked. Because I hate the squishy, nasty, watery tofu.
Yeah.
So I had cooked mine incredibly well. So it's like well done. So I think that's the trick to it, and that's probably in this recipe, making sure it doesn't get mushy and just stirred around and reduced to softness, I guess, in the salad. But Reason's recipe's great. I'm going to give it a try, and I'll let you know how it works out.
I want to hear. I love it. All right, you guys have a great morning.
Thanks, Reese.
Everyone have a good day.
All right, you too.
Talk to you soon.
Stay warm.
Bye. I will. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you to Reese for joining us. We're going to take a break for our commercial today. This is our title sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products, with their Nutritional Minute. And we're going to be right back with Mark from the – yes. Yep.
All right. I think I switched.
All right. You're back in?
I think I'm back.
All right. Good. We're going to be back with Mark from the Friends of Winfield Farm. That's hard to say. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Did you know that easy keepers and horses on restricted diets are often at risk for vitamin and mineral deficiencies? Most easy keepers are maintained on hay, and some get a few handfuls of grain a day, and most of these horses get little to no green grass. Diets that don't include significant levels of green grass or recommended amounts of fortified concentrates just don't supply enough vitamins and minerals. Many horse folks don't realize that hay alone, even high-quality green hay, is not an adequate source of many vitamins. For example, when grass is cut and dried for hay, the vitamins quickly lose their potency. 70% of the vitamin E found in grass is lost in the first week after it is cut for hay. One way to ensure that your special needs horse is getting all the vitamins and minerals he needs is to add a vitamin and mineral supplement to his diet. A well-balanced supplement will provide the nutrients your horse requires without adding unwanted calories, starches, and sugars. Microphase, made by Kentucky Performance Products, is a vitamin and trace mineral supplement that bridges the gap in your feeding program. With Microphase, your horse receives adequate and balanced vitamin and mineral nutrition without unwanted calories or other ingredients. The minerals in Microphase have been chelated, a process that protects minerals during digestion and increases their absorption in the intestines. Microphase provides vitamins, such as vitamin E, in a natural form, so your horse receives optimal results from this supplement.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, not too long ago, we were talking about Northern Dancer and the place that he was buried and the farm that he was at in Canada. And we found somebody who knows a little bit more about that. We were trying to find some more information about Winfield's farm. And we would like to welcome Mark Morissette to the show. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us. Tell us about Winfield Farm, why it's a passion to you, and Friends of Winfield Farm.
Okay, well, I grew up in Oshawa, where Winfield's Farm is located. During my childhood, I was actually only a few miles from Winfield's itself. I remember as a child always driving past Winfield's in the north end of the city, back and forth, and always seeing the horses out in the field. And It was always a topic of conversation in the city. It was a matter of great pride that we had Winfield's Farm located here, and it was held to a high regard by the citizens of the city. And along with the history of the farm itself, there was a huge amount of pride having Winfield's Farm is here, and it's where I basically became interested in it then. Post-closure, you know, my interest continued in that. I really had anticipated, you know, that it would receive a continued amount of respect from the city and everything. You know, it, unfortunately, that didn't exactly happen. So that's where my interest within the last couple of years has certainly come back in regards to Winfield's.
Well, tell everybody why Winfield's is so important.
Well, of course, Winfield's is the birthplace and the current resting place of Northern Dancer, of course. you know, the history of the farm itself and many of the buildings on the farm as well dates back into the early 1900s. The farm itself, of course, was started in around 1950. It was called Parkwood Stables. Several of the buildings that are actually part of the core of the farm right now even predate that. They were constructed in the early 1910s, you know, by another resident by the name of Colonel Sam McLaughlin, who's the founder of General Motors of Canada. Buildings were actually dismantled and moved up to what is now the core of Winfield's farm. It was at the time it was called Parkwood Stables. It was renamed to the National Stud Farm. And in the mid-1960s, it actually became Winfield's Farm. And that's when the heyday of the farm more or less began. Of course, Northern Dancer was born in 1961. At its biggest, you know, it was a huge, huge facility. It was 6 square kilometers, 1,500 acres. And
wow.
It was an absolute going concern. It was a huge, huge place.
Okay. Now, wow. So this is almost like the Canadian version of Calumet. I mean, for as far as historical goes and being around a long time and being a part of the general conscious. So what happened to it? Why is it closed? Why did it close down?
Well, E.P. Taylor, of course, was the founder and the heart and soul with Winfield's. He was the man who the farm revolved around, of course. He was incapacitated by a stroke in 1980. His son, Charles Taylor, actually took over the farm. E.P. Taylor died in 1989. His son died in 1997. The farm's operations were actually taken over by Charles' widow, Noreen, and her sister, Judith Taylor. And everything, you know, more or less continued. However, in 1988, the Maryland division of Winfield's Farm, which, you know, was Winfield South, more or less, was sold, and operations were wrapped up there. And a lot of people, more or less, seem to view that as the beginning of the end for Winfield's. Of course, it was a business. We all recognize that. And, you know, the business slowed down. There's some people who think that the heart and soul of Winfield's was lost when E.P. Taylor, of course, passed away. So the facility continued to run as Winfield's Farm up and through the 2000s. In the early 2000s, late 90s, portions of Winfield's were slowly auctioned off, or I shouldn't say auctioned off, but they were sold to property developers. The Durham College and the University of Institute of Ontario, which is just south of what is now Winfield's Farm, were also given portions of Winfield's property to expand upon. So the farm started to shrink in size through the late 90s and 2000s. And in 2009, the farm had pretty much been reduced to just a small private facility. There was not a lot of activity going on there anymore. The public wasn't allowed access to the property anymore. And shortly after that, the farm actually closed. So the era came to an end.
And sadly, of course, now Northern Dancer, talk about how important he was and what role he played at Winfield's Farm.
Well, of course, I think most of us, you know, are familiar with Northern Dancer, of course. You know, it's a storied history. Born in 1961, he actually stood at Oshawa for quite a while. Impressive, you know, string of victories, obviously. He stood at Oshawa until 1969, and he was moved to Winfield South, of course, in Maryland. Passed away in Maryland in 1990. He was returned to Winfield's Oshawa, where he was buried at the core of the farm. And, so he's actually interred there right now, along with, you know, a great number of other horses of historical value so far as Winfield's goes and thoroughbred racing in general. And when the farm closed, the expectation was is that obviously the core area of the farm where the, you know, where Northern Dancer and the other horses are buried would, you know, would certainly be respected at the very least. And there was plans supposedly put in place that the facility would be converted in some fashion to another of a public park or something like that. It was never exactly really clear, so that the public would be able to come in at the very least and, you know, and have access to the gravesite area, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, that never really came to fruition. The property, after the auction in 2009 that cleared everything out of the property, was unfortunately really left more or less abandoned. And that's really where a great number of us, you know, from a citizen standpoint in Oshawa, took another particular interest in the farm, because we just didn't really feel that it was receiving the respect that it deserved. So in it was late 2011, the Toronto Star, which is a fairly large newspaper in Toronto, Canada, actually did a feature on the farm and had obtained some pictures of the gravesite areas where there was 3 and 4 foot tall weeds in and around the graves, and the property had basically been neglected. So that was a real beginning of our actions as, you know, the Friends of Winfield's Farm. And from there, we've certainly made some great steps forward. We had a bit of an adversarial relationship with the university, who now owns the core property for a period of time, but we've moved past that, and we're tentatively working together right now. And we have the best interests mutually of the farm in interest right now. Where we go from here is the million-dollar question.
Well, and talk a little bit about what the university, what did they plan on doing with the farm in the first place when you bought it?
Well, the core of the farm, actually, as well as a great portion of the property to the south that actually borders with Durham College and the university, is became university property. It's really, of course, fuzzy to a great number of us exactly what the plans were. There really seemed to be some basic plans that they had in mind between the Taylor family and the university when the farm closed. Unfortunately, you know, they didn't exactly seem to occur. What their plans are right now is really seems to be up in the air. They've agreed to work with the city and the community at large. Of course, I'm hoping us as well, being the Friends of Winfield's Farm organization, to actually sit down and have some meaningful discussion and share ideas and thoughts on where we can take the property moving forward. At the current point, they have taken some action on the property. There was a lot of vandalism that unfortunately happened after the property was left vacant. Unfortunately, you know, the elements also took their tolls on a lot of these structures. Some of them are over 100 years old now. So without the maintenance that they were receiving when the farm was operational, of course, some of them fell into a state of repair. They've actually been making some effort up there recently. A couple of the barns received new roofs. A lot of the areas that were being damaged by water have been addressed. The gravesite areas have been cleaned up and tidied up, and a lot of respect was returned there, of course, to Northern Dancer's grave. And, you know, it's still certainly a long, long road ahead, I think. Where the farm will actually end up in the future is the million-dollar question. I don't think any of us have an answer for it right now. But certainly we have a lot of ideas. And when the time comes to sit down and actually talk about them, I'm hoping that the best interests of the farm and the history and the legacy of Northern Dancer can be respected.
You know, it's just so amazing that the 30 years of the farm being so important and so busy were the 30 years that Northern Dancer was alive. I mean, he's such a thorough part of the history of that area and that farm that it just seems like there has to be something that has to be done, especially to protect kind of the area that he was buried in, the graveyard of all the horses that are up there. He changed the face of racing as we know it. I mean, any horse that you trace back to Northern Dancer, it's just, he had such a huge effect on the thoroughbred breed, and it just seems like there needs to be something to be done. So What are you doing? What can we do?
At this point, we're certainly, you know, community awareness, public awareness is a huge portion of where we have been trying to go for the last couple of years. The more people that, you know, are supportive of Winfield's Farm and supportive of you know, preserving its historical aspect and its respect, you know, for the legacy of Northern Dancer, of course, have been banding together online. We have a website at www.friendsofwinfieldsfarm, of course, Winfield's with an S, .com, so friendsofwinfieldsfarm.com. We also have a very busy Facebook page at facebook.com/Winfield's Farm. That's where we do most of our communicating with our members, and we have a lot of very interesting content on there that we've posted. There's a lot of historical pictures and photos and details on the farm from its heyday, and a lot of recent details, including some photos that we took during an official visit to the farm this spring, this January 2013, that show the farm in its current day state of repair and in detail exactly what the university has been doing and where we as a group are moving forward. Obviously, community awareness and public awareness is the important part right now. The more people that are aware of the plight of Winfield's and are supportive of efforts to hopefully preserve what's left of the farm and make sure that the, you know, the grave sites, including that of Northern Dancer, are respected properly, we have a strength in numbers approach there. So we certainly appreciate everybody, especially on the Facebook page, to visit it and like it. We try and stay on top of everything with the news. We share lots of interesting little tidbits of information on there. And if and when the time comes that we have something important that we need the public support with, that's where we're going to announce it.
Well, and it's so great, too. I mean, just if you, I just logged on and liked it, and the photos of Northern Dancer that you have on here are just awesome. And then the absolutely gorgeous historic barns. Nobody would see this stuff if you didn't bring it to light. So I do appreciate that and everything you guys are doing. Again, just look for Friends of Winfield's Farm on Facebook, friendsofwinfieldfarm.com. And we do appreciate you, Mark, having such a passion for it and following through with it and keeping everybody up to date and keeping everybody motivated.
Well, there's certainly a lot of other people who are working behind the scenes on this. I don't want to try and take all the glory. I'm just the spokesperson more or less at the front of the line. There's a lot of people, you know, both publicly and a few who work diligently behind the scenes who have certainly made this cause what it is. You know, but like I said, we've had a lot of success in the last couple of years. We've moved from a situation where it looked like the farm was going to be lost to a situation now where we hope that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, more or less.
Well, congratulations and good luck to everything in the future. And if anything happens or changes or you need some help, you just give us a call and we'll put you on and let you talk to everybody.
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite to come and speak to everybody on the Horse Radio Network. And like I said, like our Facebook page, we're happy to share with everybody, stay on top of everything. We tend to go for quality instead of quantity when it comes to Facebook. So anything that we post, we generally like to make sure that everybody is going to appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Mark. Mark Morissette from Friends of Winfield Farm. And thanks, everybody. We will talk to you again soon, Mark.
Great. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, Jamie, that was very interesting. And, of course, you know, you have a horse here, Northern Dancer, that reached a stud fee of $1 million. I mean, it's just incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, he just changed the face of thoroughbred racing as we know it. And every horse seems to go back to Northern Dancer in such a short time, too, you know.
Yeah. I'm glad they're doing something, because when we lived in Lexington, one of the painful things we had to endure on a regular basis was a place called Hamburg Place, which was a shopping mall. And the shopping mall covered easily 500 acres. Giant, giant shopping mall. And it was called Hamburg Place because it was a significant breeding operation in Lexington, Kentucky, in the early 1900s and late 1800s, and it was sold off and made into a shopping mall, and the cemetery for all the horses was completely surrounded, get this, by a Walmart parking lot on all four sides.
Isn't that sad?
It was just incredibly frustrating. So I'm glad that Mark's getting with it, and I encourage everybody to head on over there and offer their support.
Yeah, very good. Well, we have to change gears here and get to the rest of the show.
Well, you know, everybody, how David Letterman does his top 10 list. Well, we came up with our own top 10 list of the top 10 reasons why we love our WinTech saddles.
Number 10, I can use the same saddle to fit lots and lots of horses.
That's because of that changeable gullet system.
Yes. Number 9, I never miss a day out with the hounds for fear of ruining my tack because the weatherman is calling for hurricane force winds and 6 inches of rain.
And you have been in a lot of hunts with that problem.
Yes. Number 8, WinTech also makes all of the fittings to go with it so I can be all matchy-matchy. Bridle matches perfectly. Number 7, the movable flexi blocks can be placed strategically, especially for those days when Beaker slams on the brakes at the sight of the Ocala feral cowherd.
That is nice because there are some days you want to ride with the flexi blocks and some days you don't.
Right.
So you can just choose to do that or not. You can't do that with the leather saddle where they're all sewn in.
Yep. Number 6, the synthetic billets never, ever stretch out so that the holes don't match anymore, and I never have to put my fingers in neat's foot oil again. And number 5, super lightweight, so that old creaky folks like me don't have any trouble chucking it up onto the very tippity-top saddle rack in the horse trailer.
I like that, too, being a horse husband.
Number 4, I don't have to make the argument-inducing decision to skip paying the mortgage in order to be a well-outfitted and multidisciplined equestrian.
And that's horse husband approved, too. And what she's saying in a very easy, simple way is that these saddles are not super expensive. You can afford them.
Number 3, the barn cats can rest comfortably knowing they will not be expelled from the tack room just for sitting on it.
Yeah, because they're really not allowed to sit on the $5,000 leather saddles that you had custom made.
Yeah, and no. They're nearly indestructible.
Yeah, no.
Number 2, the care panels keep Beaker's back feeling good even after riding through the forest heading west rather than east for several hours.
You've never done that before.
No, never done that. Actually did that once. We literally thought we were going west and we were going east. And the number 1 reason I love my WinTech.
Number one,
I get a truly warped sense of joy when I can clean my saddle with a garden hose.
Thank you for the David Letterman list, Jennifer.
Good job, Jen.
Those are the top 10 reasons why everybody loves their WinTech saddles. Well, we're going to take a break for our song today, and that's Above the Timberline by Jared Rogerson. And we're going to be right back. Of course, it's Really Badass Day because it's Friday.
City offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience, but it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college, searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags. Who knows what you'll find on my trusty steed. I've got everything I need up here on the Great Divide. There's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. We got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson, Above the Timberline. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. And we are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. This show today is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Well, Jamie, I wanted to tell you that we got to go out for the first time yesterday for a few minutes. We only got to spend a couple hours there yesterday morning, and we headed over to the Live Oak International over at Live Oak Farm. It's the big driving event that we've been talking about. I posted some pictures on Facebook that I took there of some of the hazards that we saw that'll be coming up on Marathon Day tomorrow. And we got to watch a little bit of the dressage. We stayed for about three or four tests. Geez, their tests are long. I was surprised how long their tests were. They seemed
really?
Like 30 minutes each. Yeah, it seemed like 30 minutes each. I'm sure it was only about five.
That's you watching dressage there, is that you think it's
exactly.
30 minutes.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
But it's a beautiful place, and we're really looking forward to a marathon tomorrow. They'll have marathon tomorrow to about 2 o'clock, and then they're going to do two rounds of jumping tomorrow. They have
whoa.
The first time.
No. Okay. I'm like, you're watching carriage riding. You're talking about marathon, which in my sport is cross country. Dressage is dressage. And then you've got jumping afterwards. That would be tricky with a carriage.
No. They actually have some the big-name jumpers coming in for some classes, and they're sort of combined the two. And then on Sunday, it's tradition for the last, like, 20 years at this show that they have a great big antique car show as well. So they combine the antique car show with the carriage show and a whole lot going on. They get about 5 to 10,000 people a day will come out on Saturday and Sunday. So they get a lot of local support for that. So it's kind
of
nice. Because anytime we can get a horse show with ordinary people who aren't horse people coming out, it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that we'll talk more about that on Monday, I'm sure, and I'll be posting pictures on our Facebook page all weekend. Well, Really Bad Ads this week is sponsored by Equity. We'll be right back with Really Bad Ads.
Jamie and I have been raving about the Equity Flex and Fork and Shake and Fork for months now, and some of you might be saying they're just saying all those nice things because they are getting paid to. Well then, let's hear from some other people about what they think. Here is Flex and Fork user Eric Bates, Pasofino owner from Kentucky, on their sturdiness.
I've been using the Flex and Fork for almost a year now. I looked it up on the internet as being a quality-made fork, and that's what I was looking for. I had already replaced two or three, you know, the manure forks that you would get at a farm supply store, and I wanted something of good quality that would last, and this has just been more than I could ever ask for.
With the Shake and Fork, you save time and money by just using this motorized fork every day. Here is Leslie from Horse Nation on how much bedding she is saving using the Shake and Fork.
It really does. It helps you sift through, you know, so you're not throwing out as much. I think Equity says that the forks probably save you $1 a stall per day in between bedding saves and labor, you know, time you're saving, and I believe them for sure.
And then there is our terrific listener, Aubrey, who cleans barns for a living, on how much time she saves with the shake and fork.
It's funny because you have to kind of slow down when you do it just because you have to let the fork shake for a second. And so it kind of took me a little while to say, okay, just slow down, because I tend to do them a little manically anyway just because I have so many to do. But you do them faster. Even though you're physically moving slower, you're doing the stalls faster. But a couple of the barns that I do use sawdust, and it's amazing how fast I can go through those barns. And it's pretty much cut down half, and I'm using so much less shaving, so it's going to end up saving a bunch of people a bunch of money in the barns that I do.
Okay, you've heard them. It's not just Jamie and I saying this. What are you waiting for? Go to equitymfg.com and get yours today. Equitymfg.com. You will thank us every single day.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It's that time of the week for really bad ads. Everybody looks forward to it. We had a lot of people submit some really bad ads to us this week, some new people, too. We appreciate that. And we are going to be giving away two terrific prizes today. One is a book called Sport Horse Confirmation, Evaluating Athletic Potential in Dressage, Jumping, and Event Prospects. It's written by Christian Schott. And Christian should know what he's talking about because he has been the breeding director for the International Sport Horse Registry for like 150 years. So he knows what he's talking about when it comes to confirmation. This is a terrific book. We're going to be giving that away. In addition, we're going to be giving away an Uncle Jimmy's gift pack. Now, in the Uncle Jimmy's gift pack could be anything from his original hanging balls to his licky things to the big licky to his squeezy buns. It could be anything in there. But I wanted to point out today that he, you know, everybody knows about his original hanging balls. They're the horse treat that you hang in your stall that the horses absolutely love. They're all natural ingredients, and people, you know, the horses just love these things, and owners love them too because it keeps their horses busy in the stall. But he also has a sugar-free version of this same Uncle Jimmy's hanging ball. So if your horse has a problem with sugar, you can get the sugar-free version as well. You can find all of Uncle Jimmy's products at uncle-jimmy's.com. Well, Jamie, you're leading the way today with an odd one that you found, a non-horsey one. Oh, did we lose
Jamie? Find this one? No, I'm right here. Did I find this one? I can't even remember.
Yes, you're starting with the one you found about the guy cheating, right?
Okay. I don't even remember finding it. This is the, you know, that's how pregnancy brain goes. Yeah, so the title of this one is My Guy is Cheating on Me with Xbox 360. Now, you realize that I have already decided that my child, my future son, will not be playing video games. Glenn seems to think that that's impossible. Glenn, is that true?
I laugh about that every time you say it.
He is not going to be – okay, he's not going to play any violent video games. It's just the way it's going to go.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. And this is why, because things like this happen. Okay, so this is not an ad for sale or anything. It's in the venting section of Craigslist. Okay, I know I'm not perfect. Nobody is. But seriously, I try really hard to be a good girlfriend. I don't send endless paranoid text messages to Mr. Guy, as I refer to as him. I will try anything in bed. Seriously, I've never said no to anything with him, and I've never mentioned meeting with parents, our future, or even said, could you help me with my car? Nada. I almost always insist on us paying our own way at dinner or a movie. Look, we're both broke. I'm not looking for handouts. Plus, I hate chick flicks more than any guy. So
as a girlfriend, I would say I am above average.
I would
yet
second
this,
that.
Yeah, she's lying. Yet, despite all of this, Mr. Guy decided to break the bond we once shared with once Xbox 360 moved into his roommate's house. Suddenly, now lying in bed at midnight, I'm thinking, oh, he's going in for the kiss. But no, he leans over and whispers in my ear, one more round of Modern Warfare and I'll be back. You just rest here. I'm sorry. That's why video games are poison. They poison your brain and your relationships, and they're no good.
See, this is how, why guys and girls are different, because I looked at this ad and said, I wonder how many messages she got on Craigslist for guys looking for this perfect girlfriend.
Maybe she was trying to pick up other guys.
I look at this and go, oh, my God, if I was single, I'd be writing her.
Brilliant.
It's just a pickup line.
All right.
Yep.
Why don't you do the – do you want me to do the next one? And then
I'll do the cart and harness. Kathleen sent this in, and we thank you for sending this in, Kathleen. This is a beautiful pure oak Meadowbrook cart and harness for $1,500. I have a beautiful all oak Meadowbrook cart and matching harness willing to sell Spearite cart $1,200 and harness $300. And harness can fit a regular size horse, but it fits better on a smaller horse like an Arab or Slimer build horse. But I did have it on my tank of a quarter horse, and cart is made for a normal size horse.
Good Lord. What is all that? And that's all one sentence, by the way. So well done, Glenn. Well done.
I don't know whether this harness fits a horse or a tank, or I'm not sure what it fits. But you can get it all for $1,500. Probably a deal if you knew what it was.
Do they leave spell check off of Craigslist for a reason? Like, can you spell check on there? Because a Slimer be-alled horse, that's not okay. Robin Donahue sent in the next one, all capital letters, of course, so there's apparently no shift key on this one, or you can't turn the caps lock key off. I have horses for sale. This is called Horses for Sale in the Lulling area. I don't know where that is. I have horses for sale. Three of them are females. Two of them have been riding. The other one have not been riding, but she is halter, broke, and very fearly. I have a pony that has been riding, good for kids, paint stud horse that has been riding, but not in a while. $500 for all the horses, and the pony I need $400.
Holy cow.
Listen, if you can't ride in it once or twice and it's fairly, then I don't want to talk to you.
And how many times? The other. That, yeah, obviously spell check doesn't cover repeats either.
I guess that when you stutter, it just comes out in your typing too.
Robin also sent this one in. Mommy Pony and Paint Baby, $650. This one's in Texas, Navarro County. 4-year-old blue roan mommy mare with her first baby, a super flashy, gorgeous filly. I will take $650 for the pair. Now, this, if she had stopped the ad here, she probably would have had, 1,000 calls, right? Because, you know, it's $650 for a blue roan mommy and a gorgeous filly. You would have probably called yourself. But she didn't, because she was being extremely honest. We have a lot of threads through today. Honesty is the thread. No, the mare has not been ridden. I am too big for her, and my kids are even larger than me, which concerns me in its own way. No, she is not super-duper gentle. She has her first baby, and that is where her affections are. Whew. She has been wormed this week, had her hooves trimmed for the first time, and been saddled for the first time. She does lead and load very well and knows how to stake out like a goat.
What?
Now, I know sometimes they'll tie goats to a stake. Do you think that's what she means, or do you think that means she stands like it? I have no idea.
I think that's exactly what she means, and she should be ashamed of herself. Go ahead. Continue.
I don't know. Maybe someone on Facebook can tell us what that means. Yes, we have touched the baby, but she needs more playing as well as the mommy does. which means they've touched the baby when the baby is running by as they're trying to catch it. That's what that
means. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I can deliver here for $125 a mile. Yes, I have a pony stud if you want her bred back for a 3-in-1 package. Scammers need not text me. We do have a sheriff's office in my county. That's a first.
We have a sheriff's office in my county. What is that? They should call the sheriff on you. First of all, what breed is a blue roan mommy? Okay, you've got a blue roan mommy and a filly, and then you want to impregnate her with your unknown origin pony for a 3-in-1? Seriously, there's plenty of horses out there. Don't get me started. Castrate your pony.
I think this is the first time we've ever had this sentence, too. No, she is not super duper gentle. No, she is not super, super duper gentle. that means this thing is a complete nut job. Yeah, look out. You're going to die.
The other bad part is she's like, she's been wormed this week. She had her hooves trimmed for the first time this week and has been saddled for the first time this week. Like, they are crash coursing this horse. Like, as much as you could flood a horse with new stuff, they're doing it. This poor mare is so freaked out, she doesn't even know where she is. Unbelievable. Adrian sent this one in. Adrian, one bad sorrel gelding. Again, honesty is the key today. One bad sorrel gelding. All one sentence, of course. I have a 5-year-old sorrel gelding. He has paper IV only ranch roped off of him. An experienced rider only would make a good cutting horse. He reins like rain. Good spins, one dime, no low ballers. Call Shone for more info. Like, it rains, like it's raining, and he spins one a dime.
That's pretty good on a horse that can spin on a little tiny dime. That's wonderful. Yeah.
One
that's
dime.
Terrific.
Just one.
$3,500. Wow, that's one of the higher ones we've ever seen on our ad. Mona sent the next one in. Okay, here you go. Need a new home. Pembroke. Got a horse you don't need? Would like to see it go to a new home? Call JC. Don't be afraid to call. There will be nothing asked about anything, okay? Help the animals out. Thank you.
You know what that means?
Yeah, this horse is going to slaughter and going to be in your burger next week. That's exactly what that means. Yeah. Yeah. Don't call this person. Don't sell him a horse.
Send us your animal. No questions asked. No, we won't pay you for it. Just give it to us, and we'll take care of it. Oh, yeah. Who would call somebody like that?
We need to give that guy's number to Stolen Horse International.
Yeah, we'll find a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mona.
Glenn, you're next.
Yes. Yudi sent this one in. Awesome full-blood buckling. $500 in Ohio. I have no idea. We'll find out. We have a pair of awesome bucks out of a full-blood black-headed daughter of Blackberry.
It's a cell phone.
That's it. They're cell phones. They're full-blooded buckling cell phones, apparently. We bought her from Roland Rosenbloom in 2010. They're calling old Roland out here. One is traditional and the other is blackhead. They were born 7/4/2012. We are retaining their triplet all black sister on our herd. Sire is our no step buck, and we call Aces Ace Mighty. These are versatile full blood bucks and should work well with any program. What the hell are we talking about?
I still don't know what a buck is.
Goat, maybe? Or a ram? Or you know, is it a sheep?
Well,
they never ever
What is a full-blooded black-headed daughter? I'm going to Google that.
It's got to be a sheep or a goat, you would think. Glenn will help us out.
I Googled full-blooded black-headed daughter of Blackberry, and it came out with the Blackberry Z10, blackberry.com. Be the first to get your hands on the new Blackberry.
Damn, I told you it was a cell phone.
Yeah. Glenn Forrester did help us out. He says a buckling is a young male goat. And he said it sounds something like out of the Lord of the Rings, is that?
It sure does.
Thank you, Glenn.
Awesome. Denise Raymond sent this one in. And, yeah, I think we've had this one before, but it is worth hearing again. Thanks, Denise. Sorry, gelding for sale, $2,500.
There is a
sorry
trend today.
Yeah, honesty. For sale. Big grade gelding. Been used as a pickup horse until he got hooked by a bull. Now he won't go near one. He is definitely bipolar. Some days he's great. Some days he's a real prick. No secrets here. You need to trank him to shoe him, or he will try to kick your head off. He's been used for branding, moving cows, ranch roping, etc. We've also had beginner riders on him, and they've done fine. I've ridden him in the hills or gathered on him, and he was fine. He is not great to catch, although we have him turned out on 140 acres, so he can leave if he wants. But in a smaller pen, he's much better. He just needs someone that isn't going to take his beep on a regular basis. He needs to be taken and used. If you're looking for a horse that you can ride twice a year, well, then this is not the horse for you. But if you use your horse as often as you change your underwear, then he'll probably suit you perfect. We bought him with the intention of using him because we have more. We bought him with the intention of using him because we have more than enough horses, and I can't even read the sentence. There's too many cuss words. He has a blank personality, and he has gone to the bottom of the priority barrel. He is not a horse for the faint-hearted. If you're handy, you need a project, or you think you're handy and need to try to prove it, this is your horse. I think he's about 11 years old. Answers to the name of Dick. Okay, he doesn't answer. That's just what I call him. $100. Awesome.
You know, have you ever had the hard to catch horses? You know, we've all had the hard to catch horses. And you know what struck me in this one is the 140 acres. Can you imagine having a hard to catch horse on a 140 acre pasture?
I think any horse would be hard to catch on a 140 acre pasture.
That's a big pasture. Yeah, that was a good one. Thank you, Denise. That was worth revisiting for sure. The next one's to Brenda, or from Brenda. How come I got all the odd animals today? Brenda sends us one that says, hog trade in Ramona. I don't know where that is. I need to trade my boar. I think he's too closely related to the girl. Even swap. He's a white pig, about 300 pounds. Healthy as heck. No tusks. Is the girl his girlfriend, his wife?
I am curious to know whether people that are into hogs and boars and goats and all that think that our ads are as bizarre as theirs. Horse people, what does that mean? You know, like, do they have a goat show and they read really bad horse ads and make fun of us? That's a great question.
That's
Glenn
funny.
Forrester, find out if there's a show about goats or pigs. And then I'm going to become a listener.
Related to the girl. Exactly. That's something you never want to see when you're the girl.
Beth sent in the next one. 12-year-old registered Tobiano thoroughbred. Well, that's interesting because thoroughbreds don't come in as Tobiano colors. Okay. I have a 12-red Tobiano thoroughbred needs sold ASAP. Yeah, that was a sentence. He needs an experienced hand due to his temperamental. He is only temperamental to men and not to women.
Oh.
He was abused by his previous owner, who was a man. He has been known to bite men also. He is broke to ride, but only in a group with another horse. He is up to date on shots and coggins. He is very health. He is around 17 to 18 hands, around 1,300 to 1,400 pounds. Have his reg papers on hand. He is pastured with other horses, so he gets along with pasture buddies. Loads, bathes like a champ. He also neck reins and works off leg pressure. looking for him to go ASAP. Looking, get the tours out of here. Looking also to consider a trade on him of equal value of a true buckskin mare that is 2 years old. Doesn't matter if she's up to date on shots or anything. That is the only trade I will consider. Please call or text anytime if interested. So,
can I translate this one?
Yeah, sure, please.
Okay, because this is a horse husband one here. Having been in this situation before, I'll tell you exactly what happened. She has a husband, and he has been attacked, bitten, mauled, and kicked by this horse. And he has said, it's not her saying, looking for him to go as soon as possible. It's him saying, I am getting a divorce unless this horse goes as soon as possible. Get him the hell out of here. And it's exactly what has happened here. And she should have put in the ad, please only single women apply, because that's what needs to happen. Yeah.
Amen, brother. But the fact that she doesn't know if he's somewhere but 17 or 18 hands, I mean, really, seriously? You don't know how tall he is?
He hasn't gotten that close to him. What are you talking about? He shouldn't get a tape measure next to him.
Can't
oh
measure
my God.
Him, he'll fight you.
Glenn Forrester came through. KPIG.com. 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 It's
That's
actually a radio station.
Yeah.
It's actually a real radio station.
Nice try, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Oh, do I have the next one? Yes,
yeah.
Martha sent this one in. Martha Coors, I think is new. It's very short, very sweet. Portable animal shelter on skids. Self-cleaning, moves easily. Built HD.
That built means it's
HD.
Got crisp lines.
It's high definition, yes, right. Self-cleaning,
wait,
too,
read
whatever.
That again. I don't even know what you just read.
I have no idea either. Portable animal shelter on skids. Self-cleaning. Moves easily, built HD. Well, I want an animal shelter that's self-cleaning. That's all I care about right there. I would buy it because of that. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. I don't even know what you just said.
And then the last one we have here today is not a horse trailer. It's actually a farm truck. And this is a classic farm truck. It's one of those trucks that you've seen that has the bed with the big tall sides, and it has the two-seater bench seat in the front. And this is from the 1970s. It's a 1970 Ford F-750, 2.5-ton, six-wheel drive. I didn't know they made six-wheel drive. 2.5-ton Ford truck, 460 Ford engine, gas six-wheel drive will do, 16-foot dump bed. The same tires the truck was built, B-I-L-T, with good rubber, clear lots, hail wood, or whatever were work. Machine dip, Bessel fuel tank one side, fuel pump one side, toolbox other side. Got it?
Yeah, sure. That was crystal clear.
This has the same tires. He was honest, again, honesty throughout all these ads. The same tires as the truck was built with. In 1970.
Wow.
Yeah, think
that's
dry
older than me.
Today.
That's older than you, Jamie.
Yes.
I know.
This is some
awesome.
Good tires. And it looks like
this
one of them might
the way,
be holding air.
Glenn, this is not a farm truck. You could not drive this on my farm. You couldn't get it down the driveway and turn it around and drive it back out. This is a monstrosity of a truck, and it is old and rusted. And so, by the way, that 1970s front left tire, yeah, that's flat. So,
that's Jennifer will post that one on Facebook for everybody to see. And it was funny because Glenn sent that one in, and Glenn Forrester, and said tires are older than most listeners, probably.
Yeah, and most of the hosts.
I can honestly say I was only 8 then, so I don't feel so old now. I was only 8 then.
God, you're older than me. You're so old.
We need to pick some winners. We have the book. We have the book called Sport Horse Confirmation.
Let's see. I love Beauties. I love Monas. I loved. Why don't we give the book to Brenda? Because she's the one that has the hog that's related to his sister or some girl or wife or something.
And she, Brenda obviously was looking around for something that, that had good confirmation. So this will help her. The book,
exactly.
Short Horse Confirmation, out to Brenda Nellum. Thank you, Brenda, for sending that in. We'll get the book right out to you.
And Denise Raymond could probably win the other one. Yeah, we've had that one before, but when you say that your horse answers to the name of Dick, okay, he doesn't answer, that's just what I call him. That's classic. That's classic.
It is classic. So Denise Raymond is going to win the gift pack from Uncle Jimmy's at uncle-jimmy's.com. Thank you, Denise. Both of you should write to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with your name and address, and we'll make sure that they get the prizes out to you. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this week. We're off to Live Oak for the weekend. Are you doing anything horsey, or are you too pregnant now?
You know, I've got a friend coming in town today that I'm going to hang out with, and we're going to ride pretty much all day long. And then I don't really know. Oh, I'm going to a baby shower tomorrow that is not mine. I have three friends of mine. By the way, they're all 10 years younger than me. But three friends of mine that are all pregnant within like 3 weeks of me. All due within 3 weeks of me. So I get to go to another baby shower tomorrow, one that's not mine. And by the way, going to Babies R Us as a pregnant woman and buying things for somebody else really sucks.
Now, let me ask you though, you know, we're not talking about, nobody's listening. You could just re-gift something you got it yours you really didn't want.
No. Yeah, you know what? My sister-in-law is listening right now, so I got to be careful. She's already texted me.
All right, have a terrific weekend, everybody. We hope you don't get too much snow up there in the Northeast. It is spring, you know. It really is. By the calendar, it really is. Sorry, everybody up there.
And just to Mona Leach, who had the no questions asked, give us your horse ad, please go back on Craigslist and flag that ad and don't let anybody see that ad, because that is that's a horse meat place for sure. So get that out of there, Mona. Come on, Mona. You can do it. Everybody have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, and geld. We'll talk to you Monday.
See you, everybody.
Have fun. Have fun at the Live Oak. Bundle
up.
Yes,
we will. Marathon tomorrow, Live Oak, Cala, Florida. Come on down. 80 degrees.